Good morning.
Good morning.
So there's this exercise that we do in church sometimes where I say good morning, and then you say good morning back to me. Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning I'm going to focus more on yesterday than today. Today's kind of gloomy and we lost an hour of sleep. But yesterday, did you go outside and see the sunshine? And did you see that the grass was green? I don't know if that was exciting to you, but that was very exciting to me and has nothing to do with what we're talking about this morning. But I am excited to see spring coming, and I am excited to see life coming back to the ground and to the sky and to the things around us. The Lord is good. Amen.
Amen.
This morning we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15, so you can turn there if you like. We're going to be bouncing around a bit here and there, but we're going to start and finish in Colossians chapter 3. So starting in verse 12. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Verse 13 is what we're going to focus on this morning. To make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. A couple weeks ago, I was here preaching, and we talked about light and darkness. And we talked about how light encompasses all of the good. It encompasses things that are right, and therefore things that are righteous, things that are known and covered in the light. You can see things, things that are true. Light leads to life. Now, compared to darkness, darkness is the exact opposite of light. Darkness is deceit and purposeful untruth. In darkness, things are covered up. Things are unknown. Things are gloomy. Things are wrong. Darkness is wrong, and darkness is evil. And darkness leads to death. We talked about how God is light, and in him is no darkness. Everything that is good, everything that is light, everything that is true is from God. And God is all of those things. And everything that is evil and dark and that leads to death is darkness. And none of that is in God, and God has no part with any of that. And a couple weeks ago, as we were talking about that, we talked about confession. One more thing. We talked about how fellowship between light and darkness does not exist. You cannot have light and dark in the same place at the same time because it doesn't work. So if we have darkness or evil or wrong or deceit in us, we can't fellowship with God because God is light and light and dark don't mix. That day we were talking about confession. And when someone does something wrong to me, and it hurts me, there's disunity between us. There's a lack of relationship between us. And we talked about how confession restores relationship. Anyways, so as I was studying about confession and what I was talking about there, I was getting really excited about the second part, about forgiveness, and I was so excited to talk about it, then I realized that I didn't have time. So today, we're going to talk about forgiveness. Because on one hand, you have the person who did the wrong, and they need to confess, and they need to come to that point of repentance. On the other hand is forgiveness, and forgiveness is just as important, but it's also just as exciting. So forgiveness. What is forgiveness? I looked up forgiveness in the dictionary, and one word stuck out among all the others. Stop. That didn't make sense to me. But in every definition of the word forgiveness that I found, there was the word stop. It said that to forgive is to stop being angry, to stop being resentful, and to stop requiring payment. I kind of like the idea of stop because I always thought of forgiveness as I need to go and I need to forgive, and it's a motion and it's an action. But if forgiveness is stopping, that implies that the motion was already going. It was continually moving until it got stopped. So when you're not forgiving someone, when you're holding that anger and resentment in there, the word that we use for that is bitterness. You're bitter towards them. And in English, the imagery that we use for that is it boils up inside of you. The bitterness is boiling and it's brewing and it's stirring. And if you think about a boiling pot of water, there's no peace at all in a boiling pot of water. There's bubbles popping up over here and over there. And before the bubble falls, another one coming up. And there's no rest and there's no relaxation. And it's just a craze. Compare that to a still bowl of water. It's calm and it's at peace. When we're angry and resentful, we have that bubbling up inside of us. And forgiveness comes in and stops. Okay, so that's one definition. When I looked up the Greek word, I took Greek in high school for 1 year, so I'd like to pretend that I'm smart and that I know Greek, but it's fun to try. So the Greek word for forgiveness is aphiemi, and aphiemi shows up in the Bible, I forget how many times, but a lot of times, and only half the time does it mean forgive. The other half the time, it means to let go or to leave. When I was growing up, I had three brothers, and we wrestled all the time. The living room was the wrestling floor. And when you wrestle, there's the person who's losing, who's being held, and there's the person who's winning, who's holding on. And they're holding on with all of their strength, and they're using all of their muscles and all of their arms, all of their legs, and they can't let go. If you let go, you lose. And when we're holding on to bitterness, it's the same thing. I can't let go of this bitterness. I can't. You did that thing to me. I'm not going to let that go. I'm not going to let you forget that. And we can't, but we don't realize what we're doing to ourselves. We don't realize what we're doing to our body by holding on to that. If we would just let it go, we could be peaceful. Okay, so there's two definitions of forgiveness. So, talking about forgiveness, there's two different ways that I can see this conversation going. Forgiveness between us and God, and forgiveness between us and other people. Let's look first at forgiveness between us and God. Do we need to forgive God? That can be kind of a tricky question, because God does no wrong. And I always think of forgiveness as, you do something wrong to me, I need to forgive you. So to say that I need to forgive God would mean that God had to do something wrong, not? Not necessarily. See, God is perfect, and God is holy, and God is in control of all. And God plans things, and he does things. And sometimes I'm angry at his plan, because I don't understand it. And I'm angry, and I'm resentful. Say maybe I was born into a family that I didn't like. I love my family. But maybe my parents are just the lamest, dumbest parents. Come on, God, what were you thinking? You owe me for this. Either you're just wrong and I'm going to be angry, or because of this, you're going to give me something real good in the future because, man, you owe me. God, whatever your situation, God is perfect and God is holy. Psalm 111:3 says that everything he does reveals his glory and majesty. His righteousness never fails. It takes a lot of faith to trust that the difficult situations that we face, God is working in. But how true is it that in our hardest times is when we grow the most? That's why I think faith is talked about in the Bible so much, because it's so important and it's so difficult. But we can have faith that God is working, so we should not be angry or resentful from God, and we should not require payment from God. So maybe forgiveness isn't the best word If it means to you that God did wrong, don't hear me say that God did wrong. But maybe we need to stop being angry at God. That's not really where we're focused this morning. Okay, so that's us forgiving God. God forgives us. Right here is the heart of all of the gospel about Jesus Christ. We have done wrong, we have sinned, and because we have sinned, we are deserving of death. We have wronged God. We owe God the payment, and God has the right to be angry with us. But he sent Jesus, his son, and he lived a perfect life, and he died, and he rose again, and Jesus offered us grace. And if we accept that grace, Jesus paid our penalty when he died on the cross. Our penalty, what we owe God, is paid. We are free. God forgives us, and that's a once and done deal. Once we receive that forgiveness, our debt is paid for all of our sin. I am a Christian. I have been a Christian, but I still sin. But my sin today does not mean that I lose salvation, because that debt has been paid. We have been justified. So I confess my sins and I ask Jesus into my heart, and I'm forgiven, right? That's all there is to it. God forgives me. End of story. But there are some other passages in the Bible that talk about forgiveness. So we're going to look at one in particular in Matthew chapter 6. We're in the Sermon on the Mount. In the Lord's Prayer. We all know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. To interpret that into simple terms, God, forgive me only as much as I forgive everyone else. I don't know if I want to pray that. I'm not always very good at forgiving people. But that's the example of prayer that Jesus gave. Forgive me as I forgive others. And then it goes on, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory for every man. And the very next words that Jesus says is, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive those who sin against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Really fast here, we moved from forgiveness between us and God to forgiveness between us and others. Because forgiveness between us and others is a big deal. And it matters a lot to God. Now, if I don't forgive you, I'm not losing salvation. That's not what we're talking about. We talked about that already. We're justified. But there is a break in relationship between me and God. And to show that story, Jesus talks in Matthew 18, a very common story, a very good story, of a king who has a servant. I'm going to call him Bill. Bill owes the king millions of dollars, more than he will ever be able to pay. He can't do it. And it comes time to pay, and the king says, Bill, how about that money? And he says, give me some more time. I'll make it. He's not going to make it. I'll make it. I'll find it somehow. I'll pay you back. Just give me some mercy, please. And the king says, okay, Bill, cancel the whole thing. You don't owe me anything. Good news. Okay, so Bill goes out from there, and he finds his friend Samuel, who owes him like $1,000. You know, you can make that in a couple weeks or something. He owes him just a little bit of money, and Bill says, Samuel, where's the money? And Samuel says, give me some time. Give me some time. I'll make it. See, he can actually make $1,000. I'll make it for, just give me some time. Have mercy. And Bill says, no, I want the money right now. Pay it. And if you can't, I'm going to put you in jail, and I'm going to put your whole family in jail until it's paid. Do you see the disunity between those two actions? The king forgave Bill, and Bill didn't forgive Samuel? Well, the king noticed the disunity, and when he heard about it, he said, are you kidding me? Come again? Didn't you just see what I did to you? It was much more important than that little bit over there. If that's how you're going to be, then no, you still owe me that money. So, I'm not saying that Jesus is going to say that to us. But do you see tension between those two things. Because anger and resentment, not forgiving, is darkness, and God is light. And darkness and light can't mesh. Earlier in Colossians 3, in verse 8, it says, "But now is the time to get rid of anger, to get rid of rage and malicious behavior, slander and dirty language." You have stripped off the old sinful nature and all of its wicked deeds. All of that anger, all of that hatred is evil, is darkness, and has no part with God. The two things can't mesh. So that's kind of a factual way of looking at it. This and that don't meet, don't do it. If you want to be forgiven, forgive. But there's another perspective that I want to present this morning. We have sinned so greatly against God. We have done so much wrong and so much evil that we could never, ever pay for that. And what we deserve is hell. That's kind of a scary thought sometimes, but hell is a real place. And it lasts a long time. And that's what we deserve. And until we accept Jesus, that's where we're going. But then Jesus comes and says, "No, I paid your penalty. You don't have to pay it." And God says, "You are forgiven because your debt is paid." Are you kidding me? Am I all of that bad? You just forgot all that stuff that I did? I was under this weight and this oppression that I wasn't going to be able to pay it ever, and all of a sudden it's all gone? All of it? And then Samuel comes up and he says, "Hey Ben, remember that one time that I did that one thing? Could you forgive me for that?" Are you kidding me? Of course I'm going to forgive you. Have you seen what I've been forgiven about? How could I not forgive you? Can I tell you about some of the things that I was forgiven for? I've done so many awful things, and all of this bad, all of it's gone. Of course I'll forgive you. I want to forgive you. I want to bless you with that. If you're going to write something down this morning, this is what I want you to write down. Forgiveness is a gift that has been given to us. The ability to forgive is a gift. See, when Bill still owed the king millions and millions of dollars, he needed every penny he could get. So of course he was going to take Samuel's $1,000 because he needed it. He didn't have the choice. He didn't even know how to forgive the debt. When we were locked in sin and had all of that oppression on us, we didn't even know how to forgive. What is forgiveness? But when Bill's debt was paid, and he didn't owe anyone anything, he didn't need money, he was able to say to Samuel, "I don't need your $1,000. Go ahead. Be free." Now that we have been forgiven of all of our sin and all of our evil, anything that someone does to us, I can forgive you. I can deal with that. I don't need to hold in that anger and resentment. More than the ability to forgive, we have the privilege to forgive. Bitterness is an ugly, rotten, no fun place to be. Have you ever had one of those days when you're like grumpy and just nothing can go right? I mean, somebody could like hand me a cheesecake and I'd still be like, uh-huh. And if you know me, that's a pretty big deal. Nothing can go right on that day. You can smile, you can be nice, and I'm just grumpy because I'm bitter. No matter how much goodness you offer me, I'm bitter. How disgusting is that? Compared to one of those days when you are filled with the joy of the Lord, and you know, you can be rude, you can make fun of me, you can slap me in the face, and I'm just going to say, go right, it's okay. I mean, I'm not going to enjoy it, but like, you're not going to ruin my mood today because Jesus is good. Joy is a choice now because we have been set free from this burden, we can set ourselves free from this burden. We couldn't do that before. We didn't know how. But now that we have given this, we have the privilege to say, I forgive you. That still doesn't make it easy. But it's a choice, and it's a choice for joy. And it's a choice to get rid of the rotten grossness that's inside. So who do we forgive? When I think about forgiveness, my first thought is those big ones that you need to forgive. Like that bully in high school that made every single day of your life miserable. You're supposed to forgive him? Or maybe you had a parent that was absent and wasn't there, and you're angry about that. Or maybe you had been abused by someone in your life, and it scarred you deeply. And we hold on to that bitterness and that anger for a long time. Those are the hard ones to forgive. On the other hand, those are such a big deal that I remember them all the time. I know I need to forgive that person. I don't know if I want to, but I know that it's there. For me, I've noticed in my life, in the past little while, it's the little things that catch me off guard. The little forgivenesses that I'm not handing out that are just as dark and just as evil as the big ones. And they ruin my relationship with God just as much. I have a scooter, and it's a really nice scooter. It's got really big wheels on it, so it goes really fast, and it keeps its speed for a long time. And if you've ever been to Rosedale, you know that it's really flat, and there's sidewalk. So it saves me a lot of time a lot of the days. But because my scooter is nice, my scooter often gets taken. Very often. And it's amazing how frustrated I can get over someone taking my scooter. Isn't that dumb? Of all the things that I could be worried about in a day, I let something that small get me. But I'm going from being happy and having a good day, and I walk outside and it's not there. And I go from experiencing the joy of the Lord and fellowship with God to being angry about something so small. But it's not a big deal. Someone just took my... It's not like they hit me or something. It's just a little thing. I don't need to forgive them for that. I can still be angry about that. No. It's the little things. So what are the little things? Maybe it's a coworker who just does that one thing, all the time. Maybe it's your spouse. They know that bugs you. They could stop. Or maybe it's not even something that happens regularly, just a one-time event. And it's something so small. But it's not one of those big things. I don't need to forgive them for that. It's just a little thing. But that little thing builds and boils and brews inside of you just as much as anything else. And needs to be released and needs to be forgiven. I'm going to go back and read the Colossians chapter 3 passage again, starting in verse 12. Since God chose you to be the people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy. Mercy is undeserved. When the person's not sorry, have mercy. Kindness. That coworker who's being really rude is probably rude because there's someone who has not experienced much kindness in their life. Humility. Humility to acknowledge the massive evil that we have done over here that has been forgiven. And you've just done this little thing? You know what? I can forgive that. Gentleness and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults. once more. Make allowances for each other's faults. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We make mistakes. And if I don't let you make mistakes, then we're going to get nowhere ever because I'm always going to be mad at you. And we will never be able to work together. We'll never be able to be friends because I'll just hold it against you. We need to make allowances. And forgive anyone who offends you. Anyone who offends you. For as the Lord has forgiven you, you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. See, once we get rid of that bitterness and that anger, the example that comes to mind is a sports team. You're working together for this one thing. And they make faults, and they make faults, and when you don't forgive, you just get mad. Would you please stop that? We're not perfect. But when you are over here and you make allowances for them and you give them love, then the team works together. And there's harmony. And even though the mistakes continue to happen, the team still experiences harmony. Verse 15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For you are members of one body, and you were meant to live in peace. And always be thankful. When we are willing to get rid of that anger and the bitterness, peace and harmony fill the void. A little bit of, warning is not the right word, but in awareness. Corrie Ten Boom was survived a concentration camp. And in the concentration camp, she lost her sister and her father, he was killed somewhere. And she had to deal with a lot of bitterness towards the Nazis and towards everything that was going on. Her story is really cool. You should read it. One time she was talking about forgiveness, and a guy came in that was a soldier a guard at one of the places where she was, and she had to forgive him. It's a really good story. You should read it. But as she's talking about forgiveness, with that specific event, he came in, and she had to forgive him, and it was really difficult, but she did it. She did it. And then that night at midnight, she woke up in the middle of the night and was like, but he killed my sister. I hate him. Then she stepped back. Wait, I thought I forgave him. I thought I was done with this. God, I talked to you earlier and I dealt with this. Where did this come from? So she prayed, went back to bed. A couple nights later, she woke up again in the middle of the night, filled with rage. God, I thought I forgave him. So she went to a priest to confess and to talk about it. And what the priest said was, look up in that tower. There's bells way up in that tower. And to ring the bells, you have to pull the rope. And so you grab the rope and you hold on and you pull it. And you pull hard and you pull long and the bell rings. And we hold on to that bitterness, and we ring that bell. That's our song. That's my anger song. And every single time the bell rings, I'm reminded of that thing that you did. And every time I see you, I'm reminded of that thing you did. And that song continues to play, and I continue to ring this bell, because this is my bell. And finally, we come to the point where we let it go. We drop the rope, and we walk away from it. But that bell up in the tower is still swinging. And it gets slower and it gets softer, but it's still ringing. And every time it dings and every time it dongs, you're reminded again. You're tempted again to go back to that place and to grab that rope and make it ding louder, because that's my bell. Especially when it's that coworker. You're going to come back to work tomorrow and that coworker's going to be there again and he's going to do that thing again. You're going to be tempted to grab that bell. But the good news is, because of grace, when we let it go, it still will go for a little while. But eventually, that habit will be broken and the bell will stop ringing. And then we are really free from it. And you know, we might be tempted again some other time to just go ring it just for fun. But we don't have to, because it's done. Forgiveness is not easy, and forgiveness doesn't always happen overnight. But it has to start somewhere. Oftentimes in myself, I find myself saying I forgive you before I mean it, because I don't want to mean it, but I know that I have to mean it. One of the most healing ways to forgive is to pray blessing on that person. I don't want to bless that person, but you have to. I remember specific times praying, God, bring good things to that person's life. Bring good things to that person's life. And as I walk away from the dark path and force myself onto the light path, even though I don't want to be there, the more I walk it, the farther I am. It's not easy, and it doesn't happen overnight, but it's the difference between light and darkness. It's the difference between being filled with bitterness and not knowing how to be joyful, and being filled with the joy of the Lord and bouncing around and being ready to forgive anything that comes at you. It not only restores relationship between you and the other person, but because that darkness is taken out of you, it restores fellowship between you and God. God who created all, God who loves all, God who is all beauty, God who is all truth, who is all good, and God who brings life and light and joy. Come out of darkness and walk in the light.